Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances.
Kind of easing into your foggy Sunday morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com, or you can go to the website and just click that Listen Live button. Yeah, that'll do it. I use that quite a bit, especially when I'm going for a walk, taking the dog around, checking out the neighborhood. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show today. Joshua has on his Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt, so with no Chiefs today, you'll get to enjoy some, Eagles Cowboys?
Definitely going to enjoy it. We'll see if I enjoy
you'll
it.
You'll see if you enjoy it. You'll take it in. You'll take, in some Eagles Cowboys.
I will take that in.
One of those teams will be under 500 by the end of business today, unless they tie.
Yeah. It's tough to expect any NFL team to lose four straight games, as the Cowboys have lost three straight. So, you know, we'll see what happens tonight, but it's an intriguing matchup, as always, one of the best rivalries in the NFL.
Yeah. It's always an odd Sunday when the Chiefs are not playing, when they have a Thursday night game or a Monday night game. So I got to pick out the games today. You know what? Let's just do a quick spin. I've got college football. I'm going to get to Mizzou, KU, K-State. Also, the KenPom ratings are out for college basketball, hot off the list. You want to find out where KU, K-State, Mizzou, and UMKC rank? I've got that for you. Let me spin through the NFL real quick. Of course, I want to go to it, and computer screen doesn't want to cooperate. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. It's just not going to happen. This computer, my God.
I've got them right here, Brad.
Do you? Okay. Yeah, I clicked on the wrong. Oh, here we go. See, I clicked on it, and then the screen went black. This computer is just. Okay, you got the list. Go ahead.
So at noon, we got some noon games.
Okay, I'll tell you, let's do thumbs up, thumbs down, or just okay.
Okay, so starting off, we got Raiders at Packers.
Oh, yeah, got to watch that. The Chiefs get the Packers next week, mm-hmm. and they're playing a division rival. So
yeah.
Expecting
the Raiders to lose that game.
Yes.
We'll see.
Okay.
Rams at Falcons.
Nope. Falcons are awful. Gosh. Jeez.
49ers at Redskins.
No. Nope.
Texans at the Colts.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Down with that. Yeah, Texans, Colts, definitely. Yep.
Vikings at Lions.
It's a maybe. Chiefs going to play the Vikings in 2 weeks, so you got to take in some of that. Sure. Yeah.
And then we got the Jags at the Bengals.
Nope.
Cards at Giants. No, they got another one for you. Dolphins at the Bills.
Not a chance in hell.
And then that wraps it up for the noon
game. Okay, those are the noon games. So we got two or three. We'll tune in. Packers, you got to watch pretty much all that because the Chiefs are playing the Packers next week. And you can spin around to the other. That's a good red zone day. NFL red zone day, okay?
And then for the afternoon games,
okay,
we've got Chargers at Titans.
Nope.
Ravens at Seahawks. And then Saints.
Ravens, Seahawks, yeah. I'll buy it. I'll buy that.
That's a good matchup.
Yep.
Of birds. Okay. Lots of birds in the NFL.
Lots of birds.
And then the Saints at the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
Well. And then we wrap it up, Sunday Night Football. Eagles at Cowboys.
Yeah, just for historical purposes, I guess. When is the Patriots-Jets game?
That is your Monday Night Football game.
Monday night game. I mean, the Chiefs do play the Patriots this year, and it's going to be the only game on, but I saw Sam Darnold this week saying, "Oh, yeah, our offense, we can do anything we want." Have you seen the Patriots' defense? Might want to check that out. I'm sure they are. I'm being facetious. Gosh, don't take everything so seriously. We got a foggy day today. Man alive, driving in, there were patches on. Because I drive over from the Missouri side, there were a couple of spots on 435. I was like, this is a little touch and go here. Other people are driving like 90. I'm like, really? Really, bro? And I guarantee there's somebody out there driving without their headlights on. Guaranteed. That happens. When I was driving out here yesterday in the pouring rain, especially if you're on a side street with trees overhanging and it's dark and you're driving a black car, definitely don't want to have your headlights on. Definitely. What area of town do you live in, Joshua?
Yeah. I'm Lee Summit.
You got a pretty good drive then. How was I said? Did you drive by the stadiums this morning?
I always take 150.
Okay, so you're a 150 guy. So I saw pictures. Jeff Penner, 41 Action News. Gary Lezak, 41 Action News. They were posting pictures from their traffic cams this morning of the Truman Sports Complex and the fog hanging over Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium. It's just a terrific sight. I mean, you don't be driving through that, but holy cow. Oh, boy. So let's set up the show for you today. Coming up at 8:30, Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com is going to join us. We'll talk a little Royals manager search. We did that a little bit yesterday, but we'll get Clint's opinion on the best manager to usher in this new era of Royals baseball, especially with all the young kids who could be coming up this year. You're talking about Brady Singer, Jackson Coar, Daniel Lynch. J.J. Witt is going to be a while away. I'm not going to get excited about that for a couple of years, but he's playing in the Arizona Fall League. You got some guys out there, and Clint watches or covers more Royals minor league baseball, Arizona Fall League than anybody. I mean, I'm sure there might be somebody who does more, but not anybody that I follow. Clint's great. So we'll talk to him at 8:30. At 9 o'clock, we'll welcome in our good friend Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes being out for at least 3 weeks, possibly longer, what the Chiefs may do to get by, keep going with Matt Moore. I would think they would want to sign somebody to be a backup instead of promoting Kyle Schirmer from the practice squad. I don't know. I don't know what their thinking is. They haven't made any announcements yet, so Matt Derrick will join us and talk about that and look ahead to next week's matchup with the Packers, who are 5-1, taking on the Raiders today. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have Karen and Rob from Team Cura in the studio. They'll be talking about a new program they've got up and running to help high school athletes. It's a lot of stuff they got working with high school kids, so we'll do that at 10 o'clock. All right, where do you want to start? You want to go college football or college basketball first? It's kind of a coin flip, although we had some exciting college football yesterday.
I think college football.
Okay, let's start there. You got your KU, you got your K-State, you got Mizzou. Let's start two of those were really exciting games. Actually, all three were exciting. Two had finishes that you could take something from. One was supremely disappointing. So, let's start with Kansas, okay? Why not? Les Miles, first-year head coach, former national champion, coming to one of the worst Power 5 programs in the country. Maybe the worst. Trying to get it turned around. Got a big win this season at Boston College. Kind of sent the signal. Got a different brand of football here. Going to be competitive. We're going to go on the road against another Power 5 team and put on a show for you. That's a good one. Since then, it's been not great. I wouldn't say disappointing. There's signs of life there. Yesterday, holy cow. Going down to Texas. KU was, 21-point underdog? Somewhere in that neighborhood. Huge underdog, Texas. Texas coming off that loss in the Red River rivalry to Oklahoma. This game was a shootout. I mean, from start to finish. And for pure entertainment value, fantastic. If you're a KU fan, yes, it did not end up going your way. Tore your heart out when Cameron Dicker kicked a last-second field goal to win it. 50, and they got a pause, not 52-48. If you're a Kansas fan, you got that new offensive coordinator just installed a couple of weeks ago over the bye week, I guess promoted. You look at that offense, what Carter Stanley was able to do, what they were all able to do. Holy smokes. If they can keep that rolling the rest of the season, you got a show. I was just looking up the numbers here on my sheet. KU, you want to talk about big numbers. And where was the total yards? Of course, right when I look for it, can't find it. It was almost 600 total yards. Unbelievable. Puka Williams, 190 yards on the ground. Here you go. Total offense, 569 yards. Just fantastic. For a Kansas football team, looking to rebuild, looking to give you a little energy, give you a reason to hope, give you a reason to come back, give you a reason to keep buying tickets, give you a reason to believe in what Les Miles and his new offensive coordinator are doing. You got it. And you got a show. Yes, Texas comes in every year overrated. I get that. They have the name brand Texas. You still got to go out and play. You had a chance to win that game. Kansas had every chance to win that game, taking the lead with 1 minute and 11 seconds left in the game. Carter Stanley hitting Stephon Robinson for the touchdown, then hitting Daylon Charlotte for the two-point conversion. That was ballsy. They were lining up, and I was on following on Twitter because you couldn't watch the game in Kansas City, at least in most places. My cable service doesn't carry Longhorn Network, and I don't really care because I don't really want to watch Longhorns volleyball and baseball and softball and all that. But for the one game, you think Longhorn Network could make a deal with the Kansas City area providers to put the game on, but no. You know why? Because executives don't think like fans. Just give us your money. Send that bill in. And if you're a day late, we're going to call you. We're going to hound you. A smart executive would have called the Kansas City cable and satellite providers. And I think AT&T or DirecTV, somebody may have had it, but some of the others didn't. But a smart executive on either side would have reached out. Hey, can we carry the one game? Can we do a trade-off? We'll give you this game for that game. Nah, we don't think like that. We don't think like fans. We cash our six-figure checks, pay your bill, and keep your mouth shut. You get what we give you, and that's it. Anyway, that's my rant on that. So you missed a great game. Most of Kansas City and Lawrence missed a great game. But if you're a Kansas fan, entertaining as hell. Hey, college football fan, that was entertaining. Anybody. So for Kansas, you know, they say no such thing as moral victories. I mean, sometimes there are. I think that's a moral victory. You took a lead with 1 minute and 11 seconds left. Couldn't make the last stop. I get that. Gave up 50 points. I get that. But for a program like Kansas, really had, other than bringing in Les Miles, didn't have a lot of high hopes coming into the season, didn't have a lot of things to talk about. You got something now. You go into work on Monday saying, dang, we almost did it. Almost. You got some excitement. You got the blood boiling. You got some anticipation. Now, they get Oklahoma coming in next week. All right, Texas Tech coming in next week. There's a real chance to win that game. Texas Tech ain't no great shakes. They got a new coach. They got beat yesterday. KU has every chance to win that game next week. They have a chance to have a big crowd. Does it sound like I'm working for the Public Relations Department of Kansas? I don't know. I'm just telling you what I saw. I saw a great football game. Kansas came out on the wrong end, but still. Now another exciting game. K-State. They were underdogs at home to TCU. I was watching the second half of this game at Charlie Hooper's in Brookside yesterday. It was mostly Mizzou fans watching Vanderbilt, which I'll get to in a second. So I was keeping my eye on the K-State game, got it on one of the big screens in that back room at Charlie Hooper's, had a nice cup of chili. Back and forth. K-State's ahead. Now they're tied. Now they're trailing. What's going to happen? Skylar Thompson. And I'll just be honest with you, I love the kid. Watched him at Fort Osage in high school. Fantastic. Terrific person. Got recruited by a few places. Decided to choose K-State. Beat out Alex Delton for the starting spot. And Coach Kleiman came in. So that's the guy. Alex Delton transferred to TCU. He didn't. I didn't particularly notice if he got into the game yesterday. I don't believe he did not start. K-State coming down to the wire. Fourth quarter. Needed a big drive. Got a couple of first downs. They only had 190 yards of total offense at the end of that game, towards the end of that game. Needed a big drive. So they go 11 plays over 5 minutes and 18 seconds. Skylar Thompson ended the game-winning drive with a 3-yard touchdown run that got K-State the win to go to 4-2. And here's the quote from Skylar Thompson, which I love. The kid's a gamer, man. Back to his high school days at Fort Osage and now at K-State. Here's the quote after the game from Skylar Thompson. I live for those situations. I'm inferring his inflection here because I don't have the soundbite, but so I'm just kind of reading it as I'm thinking it in my head. I live for those situations. I have my whole life. I love to be under the gun, under pressure, and in those situations. That's what I worked my whole life for, to be in the situation like that and deliver for my teammates. Who doesn't want that kid on their team? Who doesn't want to play for him? Not for him, with him. Teammates. Not the coach. Who doesn't want to play with Skylar Thompson? If you didn't see the game, get to the highlights. Kid's a gamer, man. Just terrific. Just a hard-fought game, too. Man, there's nothing easy about that game for either team. Nothing. Unfortunately, K-State's got to play Oklahoma Saturday. It'll be in Manhattan, and they got the 11 a.m. kick. I don't know if I like 11 a.m. kicks if I'm home on, you know, I need something to watch on TV, but if I'm a player or coach, I don't like 11 a.m. kicks. So K-State and Oklahoma, good win for the Wildcats. So there's your first two kind of recappers. KU, moral victory, yes. I'm saying it, moral victory. You went to Texas, had a chance to win, lost on a last-second field goal. Good performance. Good debut for the new offensive coordinator. Nice job by Carter Stanley. And for K-State, great home win against TCU. Okay. Those are your positives. Now we get to Mizzou. And I will be tuned in Monday morning at 6 a.m. for the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez, because I'll be anxiously awaiting the reaction of Stephen St. John after having 2 days to digest what happened. And I'm not making fun of Stephen. Stephen is hardcore, passionate Mizzou, and I really want to hear what he thinks. Because I saw the Mizzou fan reaction on Twitter yesterday, and it was more of the, well, this is what we get. Mizzou sets us up and knocks us down. Lose to Wyoming to begin the season, awful. Now, God, we're going nowhere. Win 5 straight games. Okay, back in, chance to make a run in the SEC East. Maybe the NCAA will take away their ridiculous suspensions and allow Mizzou to play in the SEC championship game and go to a bowl game. Maybe. That's all on the table. The NCAA is going to drag their feet as long as they can. They've had this thing for months, and they're sitting on it. I got an article about that, too. So it's all set up. 5 straight wins, chance to make a run, and play for the SEC East title and make the conference championship game, provided the NCAA changes their mind. Because as of right now, the rules say that you can't play in that championship game if you're under suspension. So everything's set up, ready to go. Mizzou into the top 25 for the first time this season. Number 22, going on the road to Vanderbilt, which came in 1-5 overall, 0-3 in the conference. Go on the road. Nice trip to Nashville for the Mizzou fans. Nashville's fantastic. I had some friends who were down there for the game. It's all on the table. It's all there for the taking. Nah, we're not interested. We'll just barf our, you know, lunch out all over the field in Nashville. 21-14. Seriously? Kelly Bryant was not good. Run for his life most of the day, too. Offensive line was not good. That game-sealing drive for Vanderbilt kind of eat up the clock. Missouri couldn't tackle. Just, nah, take our 21-14 loss and kill all the hopes and dreams of the fans. That's what we're going to do. I was texting Matt Derrick last night, who's coming on to the 9 o'clock hour to talk Chiefs. He was at a wedding. Matt Derrick is a big Mizzou fan. He said, yeah, trying to get through this wedding reception and this horrible Mizzou game. That can't happen. I'm sorry. Barry Odom's been there long enough. And I'm not calling for the coach to be fired. Don't run off and say that. I'm just saying games like this cannot happen. They just can't. If you rack up 5 straight wins, you go on the road to a not very good Vanderbilt team, you got to win those games. You have to win. You can't go down and lay an egg. You can't put on a you-know-what show like that. That's unacceptable. Even if you're not a Mizzou fan, you're just a college football fan watching that game. Ah! Terrible. Okay. So, good for KU. Had a chance to win late. It's okay. Came up short. Put up 41 points. The new offensive coordinator. K-State, hard-fought win over TCU. And Mizzou, just a turd of a game. Okay, before we hit the break here, throw you a little college basketball. How about that? Because nobody's won or lost yet. You can't say anything negative about anybody yet. You can only be excited about what lays ahead for the season. So, we're all familiar with the KenPom rankings, right? Ken Pomeroy, respected statistician and analyst. Everybody reads his stuff. Everybody uses his research. So why not? His 2020 ratings are out. Came out either late last night or this morning. So here you go. You want to know where your team is? You want to know where your college basketball team is in the KenPom ratings? Number one is Michigan State. No surprise there. Maybe a little bit. Number two, Kentucky. All right. 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all from the ACC. Louisville, 3. Seems a little high, but that's okay. Duke, 4. Virginia, 5. North Carolina, 6. Then you get your second Big Ten team in the top 10. Purdue at number 7. Villanova at 8. You haven't heard KU yet, right? I'm through 8 teams. Haven't heard KU yet. Number 9, Gonzaga. Still haven't heard KU. KU at number 10. In the KenPom ratings for 2020. Sounds about right. Of course, with KenPom, he's got so many metrics to go into the ratings. So it's not just, who do I think is going to be the best team? It goes into strength of schedule and adjusted defense, adjusted offense. He's even got a luck factor, which there are no numbers on that yet. But it's a whole bunch of different things that go into this. So you can just Google KenPom ratings and you can find it. So KU's at 10. Roll through the rest of the Big 12 here, and I'll hit Mizzou and Wichita State, too. So, KU's at 10. Baylor at 13. Texas Tech at 15. Oklahoma at 25. Texas at 32. Boy, if Shaka Smart doesn't do something this year, I don't know. If your expectations are reasonable, you're not going to be upset with that at 32. But with all the excitement that Shaka Smart had surrounding him when he came in, he's getting to hot seat territory right now. So Texas at 32. Haven't heard of Missouri yet, right? Missouri is at 39. It's okay. All right. There's a little something to build on. Oklahoma State at 40. TCU at 46. Iowa State 47. K-State basketball 49. That seems low to me. It seems low. And they got some guys coming back. I realize they, lost Barry Brown and a couple of good players, but 49 seems low. I'm gonna just wager with myself that they're gonna finish higher than 49th in the KenPom ratings at the end of the year. Just guessing that. West Virginia at 59. Oh, Huggy Bear. Could be a long season for the Huggy Bear. Wichita State at 62. Greg Marshall magic wearing off. I still think that was a horrible decision to leave the Missouri Valley. Them and Creighton. Such a good conference. Why do you leave? Ah, TV ratings and money. Okay, who watches your games now? How interesting are your games now? Your regular season games. Why'd you make that move? Money? Prestige? More respect from the voters? Help bring down a really good conference. Congratulations. Enjoy. Nebraska in at 96. And for your UMKC fans, got a new coach. Got some excitement. I'm excited about UMKC. I'm Kangaroo. I'm excited about what they could do in the next 5 years, especially when they get out of that conference they're in now, the WAC, and get back to the Summit League. I'll be so happy when that happens. God. I have zero interest in watching their games with Grand Canyon Valley State, whatever the heck it's called, Portland State, and all that, all those schools out there. Zero interest in that. No regional rivalries. Games on at 11 o'clock at night. So I'm excited. This will be the last year in the old conference, and then they'll move back to where they should be. UMKC is at 230. 230. It's about right. It's about right. 230 out of 353. Sounds about right. All right, so there we go. We got your college football, got your college basketball. Next, we're going to talk a little Royals baseball with Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. Some exciting things going on in the Arizona Fall League. Some bright prospects on the horizon for the Royals. And we'll talk to Clint about who would be the best manager to fit in and guide this new wave of young prospects with the Kansas City Royals. Your Jackson Kowars, your Brady Singers, your Kyle Isbells, and Daniel Lynch's, and J.J. Witt, and on and on and on. So we'll do that next. Clint Scholes, you're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
No sleep till...
That's how you get the juices flowing on a Sunday morning. Absolutely 100%. Nice call, Joshua. Nailed it. I just love this song. Who does not like this song? I don't want to meet the person who doesn't like this. I'll find out from Clint Scholes in a second if he agrees. By the way, did you just see Deshaun Watson walking in for the Texans game today? And the coat he's wearing? I mean, he looks like the king from Coming to America.
Is it Cam Newton-esque?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's next level. He can pull it off. I can't. But it's got like this sash with, I don't know if it's metals or what. I can't even describe the jacket. It's a coat. He can pull it off. Great. Good for you. Young, good looking, got lots of money. Go do it. Be your best self. I would get arrested if I wore a jacket like that or a coat. The old man, got to take the coat off or you're coming with us. Yeah, the walk into the stadiums on Sunday morning is some of the funnier things you'll ever see. I got my Beats by Dre on, I got my headphones, I got my earbuds, whatever it is, and I'm not paying attention to these cameras over here. I'm cool as a cucumber. Now, you know, you don't dress like that unless you want to be seen. And I'm talking about every player in the NFL. Not every player, a lot of players. I used to love seeing Jerry Allen walk in for the Chiefs, because he'd wear something crazy every week, and usually a 10-gallon cowboy hat, shirt unbuttoned down to his navel. Anyway, that took an odd direction. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Talk a little Royals baseball now with Clint Scholes from RoyalsReview.com. Clint, how are you on this Sunday morning?
Doing well, Brad. Can't complain with this weather.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I just walked out on the balcony here at the studio. You just about can't see the building right next to us here at the studio. It's thick.
Oh, is it? You guys have some bad fog, huh?
So I saw you, before we get into the Royals, I see you tweet out on Saturdays during college games, in particular, I think, when Iowa or Nebraska is playing. And I warned Joshua yesterday. Iowa went into the game against Purdue yesterday as a 17.5-point favorite. I said, first of all, that's ridiculous because Iowa doesn't score. They kick field goals, and occasionally they throw in a touchdown for good measure. That's what they did yesterday, one touchdown and, like, four field goals. It's boring football. They got to win.
Yeah, they're offensively challenged, to say the least. It's a little disappointing if you're an Iowa fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get into baseball here. First of all, last night's game, ALCS Game 6, absolutely off the charts fantastic. Not only well played, well pitched, entertainment value with the Yankees hitting a two-run home run on the top of the ninth to get back into the game and tie the score, and then Jose Altuve hitting a two-run walk-off to win the game for the Astros and send them to the World Series. I just thought that was great, and I saw you tweeted out something along the lines of, doesn't matter if it's a juice ball, dead ball, the Astros, bar none, are the best team in baseball.
Well, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, their record, they've got every type. I mean, they're athletic. They make, you know, besides that, those two home runs towards the end of the game, the Astros were scoring everything last night with their defense because they're so athletic. They're just an amazing team. It's, you know, I'll be rooting for the Nationals just because I want to see somebody else win it for a change. But it was impressive to see, you know, the Astros kind of on full effect last night without Gerrit Cole and Verlander pitching. It was, you know, that's just how impressive of a team they are. They can win in multitude of ways because they've got speed, they've got athleticism, they've got, you know, power if they need it.
Well, I did tweet out yesterday because I'm not as well researched in baseball as you are, and I tweeted out at one point, you know, when it was close there in the seventh and eighth, I was like, well, they said they weren't going to use Gerrit Cole, but they may get in a situation where they need to, and I think you tweeted back to me, hey, they don't want to go into Game 7 with the JV if they need Gerrit Cole. Sure enough, they didn't need him. But when they got to the ninth inning and the Yankees tied it up, I thought, you know, if this thing goes 11 or 12, it might still be in play. I don't know.
Well, they might have had to use him, but that would have put them in a pretty difficult spot.
Yep.
For Game 7 if they had lost, because then you don't have any Verlander, you don't have any Cole. And you got to, you know, come back with, I don't even know, Greinke, you know, how much Greinke could have given them. So it would have been a difficult spot, but luckily they didn't need to go that route, and they got the walk-off win on a home run, and that Chapman didn't even look like he was too disappointed and giving up. He was looking at his face. He looked more like he was amazed.
I never saw a guy smile after giving up a walk-off bomb like that. It was kind of creepy, actually. I don't know. Maybe he was just stunned and in the moment, but you know, you get the guy on the mound throwing 101, and you get the kid who's 5'7", one of the best players in the game, just take it yard and it wasn't even close. I mean, just everything set up in that moment. And I tweeted out last night too, there's nothing more exciting than a baseball game with the game on the line and the best players in the game just going head to head. And you had power pitcher and the shortest guy in baseball going head to head, and then sure enough, and look, we all talk about Jose Altuve being 5'7". I do it. I've tweeted out about it. It's not really an issue. He's one of the best players in the game. That should not be a shock.
No, it's not a shock. He's a great player, and he took a great pitcher deep, and walked it off. And I think Jason Stark tweeted out he's just the second guy to walk off a playoff series after his team had blown the lead in the ninth. So, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and now we get a couple of days to catch our breath, and then Tuesday night, Nationals and Astros in Houston. And, boy, you know, the World Series always gives you great pitching matchups because you got the two best teams going head-to-head. But Max Scherzer versus Gerrit Cole, for any game of the season, I don't know if your matchup gets any better than that head-to-head.
No, and then you come back with Strasburg, Verlander. It's going to be a great series. You got four of the best pitchers in the league going at it, and two great teams, and the Nationals, what they've got with Rendon and Soto and their lineup and how they've played and just been dominant after their nice, you know, upset kind of wild card win. It's you got two great teams to to duke it out with four great pitchers, and then you toss in Greinke and Corbin as well, and the ties there with being former teammates, and you know, you got Scherzer and Verlander were teammates, and Cole, and so it's just, and Strasburg are both California kids. It's just, you know, plenty of storylines, plenty of great players. It should make for a great World Series.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Kansas City fans, plenty of ties there with, you know, former Royals, Zach Greinke, and Maldonado was here for about 5 minutes, but, you know, he's part of the Astros with the catcher, and then Max Scherzer being a Mizzou guy. It's all really good stuff. Well, we're speaking with Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. And, Clint, let me apologize, because in the first segment of the show, I called Bobby Witt Jr. J.J. Witt like three times because the NFL is on the TV and they keep showing J.J. Watt, so I was calling him J.J. Witt, which is embarrassing. But let's get into some of these young guys, and then I'll ask you for your opinion on what kind of a manager suits best for the Royals to handle the next wave of young talent with the Royals. But a lot of guys in the Arizona Fall League right now, it's warm in Arizona, so they can get plenty of games in. But kind of give us a little bit of an update on Bobby Witt Jr. It looks like he's having a pretty decent run here in the Arizona Fall League.
Well, he's not in the Fall League. He's been playing in Instructs.
I get the two
Instructs,
confused.
So, and everything I've talked to from scouts down there, he's looking, you know, impressive. He's got strength. He's got the defensive chops. So I don't think, you know, he didn't dominate the Arizona Summer League like they would have hoped. But still, everything I've heard from on scouts is that there's no need to worry that this kid's kind of the real deal, and so he'll probably head to Lexington this year. At least that's what they're saying from Jeffrey Flanagan's story, that he'll head to Lexington with Brady McConnell, and the Royals can watch their development together and kind of match that up and see who can see Brady move to the outfield or play third base, and then hopefully Witt can develop into a star. From the scouts I've talked to, the only question is, if he can stick it short, if he grows too big, he might have to move over to third base. But otherwise, the defense is solid. The power's still there, and the hitting ability, they think, will come along. So lots to like. And, the former, the number two pick, and the Royals have, you know, plenty of players there that are performing. I've heard Carlos Hernandez has looked outstanding there this summer, and showing great stuff, and then Daniel Lynch and Kyle Isbell have done really well in the Fall League, so lots to be happy with the developments down there.
Lynch hit a little bit of a bump in the road last night or a couple of days ago?
Yeah, last night he gave up 5 runs in 3 innings. That was pretty much the first bump he's had down there, but he hadn't pitched in, you know, over a week, and so you can kind of lose your stuff. I think that's probably what happened. He pitched an inning in the All-Stars game. He was up to 99. But previous to that, I think he hadn't pitched in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And so it was quite the layoff, that probably longer than what you really want, other than that one inning in between. But, you know, his stuff's been outstanding. Fastball, breaking ball, changeup, all were, you know, voted amongst the best in that league, and you've got some really talented pitchers down there, and his command's well. It's just piling up innings. That's all he's doing down there right now, because he missed some time. And so I think the Royals, you know, send him to Double-A, where he can, hopefully it won't take long to join Brady Singer and Jackson Kolar either in Triple-A or maybe even in the bigs at some point next year.
What kind of a workload are Singer and Kowar getting right now, if any at all? Because those are the two names at the top of the list for most Royals fans in terms of just kind of being aware of who they are. What are they working on, or where are they this offseason?
They're back at home, as is, Bubik. So it's just,
they threw a lot of innings this year, right?
Yeah, they all threw in the 140, you know, and so career highs for pretty much all of them, you know, right in that range. I think Singer was 148, Kolar was right, you know, just a tick right in that mark, and so was Bubik. So they don't need to do any off-season work. They'll go to spring training. probably see them, you know, in the major league spring training at least to start, and see, you know, have them compete with the major leaguers and see if somebody can break through camp. Otherwise, you'll see them, you know, hopefully you can see them early in the season if the Royals can kind of hang in there and they need another starter. Otherwise, they'll head to Omaha probably and deal with that ball there and try to, you know, except for Bubik, he'll probably go to Double-A since he didn't reach that level. And like I said, you know, all three or four of those guys, if they dominate and do what they did last year, you could definitely see them at some point in Kansas City next year.
Yeah, that would be terrific. And I also appreciate the videos and the photos coming from the Dominican League, because I know it was several years ago now, Mick Schaefer, who I used to work with at Metro Sports, he and a couple of guys went down to the Dominican and did a documentary. Tony Pena took him down there and did a documentary on the Dominican League, and it's one of the craziest scenes you'll ever see at these games, because it is loud, and people have horns, and they have sirens going off in the stadium, and they have dancers on top of the dugouts throughout the entire game. It's just nuts, and I know the Royals have some guys down there, and they've tweeted back some of the pictures of their experiences, and they just absolutely love it. And you're playing against big league talent, because a lot of guys go back home, and they want to play for their hometown team.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing, and that's, I think what you see down there is what you would hope to see at major league stadiums, and you really just don't get. I mean, they're into the game from start to the finish. It's nobody sitting on their hands. They're hooping, they're hollering, they've got their vuvuzelas going. I mean, it's just a little bit better atmosphere. And Nick, he tweeted out how exciting it was, how he couldn't, you know, his first game there playing for Lycee, that how he couldn't hear his fellow outfielders when he was making a play in center field. And that had been the first time he'd ever experienced that. And how exciting it was. I think last night his team won. They scored like four or five runs in the 10th inning to win. And he's doing pretty well down there. And that's a guy that might, you know, challenge for a big league spot in center field right at the start of the year this year. So it's and then you've got other guys doing, you know, playing down there. And it's just a great atmosphere, and it's probably something that Major League Baseball needs to look at and say, how do we bring this atmosphere to Major League stadiums? Because what wraps you in with the playoffs is the excitement, is the crowd, is, you know, we saw it in 14 and 15 and how packed the stadium was and how loud it was, just every inning, every play, everybody's into it. And that's what you want to bring, and that's what the Dominican does. Whether they have a full stadium or not, they're into every pitch, they're into every play, and I think that's what's missing in day-to-day Major League Baseball that would really bring the fans back. It's more of I want to say that soccer environment, and if soccer can do
absolutely
it every day, every play, you know, regular season game, then there's no reason baseball couldn't.
Absolutely, 100%. And we're speaking with Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. A couple of final things for you, Clint. With all of these young guys that could have make their way to the major leagues, some of them this year, some of them in the next couple of years, very exciting stuff. The Royals are going to need a manager to handle these young guys coming up. Now, look, when Ned Yost got to Kansas City, he wasn't the perfect match. He had a rough start. He was grumpy all the time. He could be abrasive. But he was a good clubhouse guy. He's a, you know, I think we overuse, he's a player's coach, a player's manager, but that is how he kind of functions. And when that wave of, you know, Moustakas and Hosmer and Salvador Perez and those guys were coming through, he was the right fit at the right time. And the Royals got to find that next guy to handle this next wave of Royals baseball and get it back to where it was in 13, 14, 15, and 16. And we've all seen the list, and Mike Matheny is the guy who nobody wants, and Pedro Grafal seems to be a favorite of insiders and fans alike, and you have some other outside guys. But who do you have a bead on a personality or at least a prototype for a guy who would fit this Royals team the best with what they're going to try to do and build over the next 3 to 5 to 7 years?
Well, Grafal would be my favorite just because he's into analytics and a manager, you know, that's not into that and not going to use that just is behind the times nowadays. And And the other thing I like about Gasol, and maybe I'm overplaying this a little bit, is his Latin feel can maybe, you know, he's worked with Mondesi for a few years, so maybe he gets the most out of Mondesi, and that's something that the world should probably be pretty concerned about, because if they have a superstar in the dugout right now, it's Mondesi. So how do we get the absolute most out of him? So that's where I would work with, you know, lean towards Gasol. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. I think if you read all the stories and kind of read between the lines, I think it's pretty much a done deal, and that Mazzini's going to be the guy. And so from there, with so many young players, then you have to ask yourself, you know, will he do the same things that he did in St. Louis and allow kind of the, I don't want to say the bullying ass, you know, atmosphere, but will he let the veterans, you know, take over a little bit more than they should? There's kind of a good in between there, and I think that's what you got with Ned. You know, you had the young guys who, you know, when Hosmer and Moose and all those guys were coming up, they kind of ran the clubhouse at first, and then they had to bring in, you know, a veteran like James Shields to kind of show them the way. Hopefully this time around with their young players, you don't have to do that. And so is Matheny the right guy? I don't know. I've never had any conversations with Matheny. I couldn't really tell you. But it's up to them. They got to find that. Maybe it's just – maybe he's a short-term guy too. Maybe, you know, you don't have to follow the same plan as Ned Yost and have a manager for, you know, the entire time. Maybe you can have Mike Matheny for 2 years and then go find – the right guy that's the right fit. You know, this team's not going to win next year. This team's probably not going to win the year after that either. So maybe this next guy is just a bridge manager. That wouldn't be the first time. You know, we saw that with Trey Hillman. And
no, boy.
And so I don't think it's the worst thing. It's we also don't know what John Sherman's going to want. I mean,
that's
all
right.
Speculating.
Yep.
You know, and he's the owner, and it's ultimately it's his say, what the person that he wants to put involved. So he's going to have, possibly a new stadium in a few years, and he's going to be the team owner. So we'll see where he puts his mark on it. It's not as big a deal, I don't think, as what fans and people are making it out to be if it is Matheny.
Yeah, and John Sherman, by all accounts, he doesn't do much publicly. He doesn't really do interviews. When he was announced as the next Royals owner, and that'll be approved in November when the Major League Baseball owners get together. But when you do background on him, I've talked to people who know him personally. Like, he is a super dude. He does a lot for the community, raises a lot of money for charities and philanthropic things that he likes to do. He just doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't do a lot publicly. But the other thing they say about him is, man, he's got a baseball brain. He reads analytic books, and he's really into it and would embrace this new, it's not a new era of analytics, but embrace it more than some of the old school guys. So I'm certainly excited to see the direction he's going to take with the Kansas City Royals and on into the future. Hey, Clint, I appreciate you being up early on a foggy Sunday morning to join us and talk a little Royals baseball.
Anytime, Brad.
All right, thank you very much. That is Clint Scholes, RoyalsAcademy.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Clint Scholes. And I'll spell the last name for you, Scholes. If you want to know what's going on with the Royals minor leaguers and the top prospects and where they're playing, especially in the offseason, how they're developing, follow Clint Scholes. He sees more stuff in person. He streams minor league games. He's on top of just about everything. So good stuff from Clint Scholes here. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to chat with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. We'll talk Chiefs football. We'll talk Patrick Mahomes. We'll ask him if he thinks the Chiefs are going to sign another quarterback to be a backup for Matt Moore to get him through the next 3 weeks or more. So that's all coming up here. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. See, I'm going to do this. I messed up three names so far today. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810WHB. All right, got the caffeine flowing, got the juices flowing, got the excitement flowing on a foggy Sunday morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Coming up next, Hey, Chiefs are off, but we're not. And we got to talk Chiefs. We don't have to. We want to. We're going to do that. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com is going to join us. We'll talk about the injury for Patrick Mahomes, what it's going to look like over the next 3 weeks with Matt Moore as the quarterback, and will the Chiefs sign another quarterback to be a backup to Matt Moore? Plenty of questions to be asked. No days off when you're covering Chiefs football. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB.